I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome into the Jazz Notes podcast. I'm your host, Ben Anderson. As always, you can find me on Twitter at Ben's Hoops. You can read me at kslsports.com. Had a lot of news in the last week. The Jazz have started making players available again to the media. I'm going to be joined by Sarah Todd coming up here in just a moment from the Deseret News, talking about those conversations with the players. And of course, the Jazz schedule has also been released. We'll talk about what the Jazz final eight seeding games look like one by one, and what we think the Jazz are going to do while they are in Orlando. Go to kslsports.com. You can see an updated list of players who are skipping the NBA's return. That's all 22 teams, including the Jazz. And like us in iTunes, subscribe, leave us a review. Appreciate if you do that. Here's my conversation with Sarah Todd. So welcome in our next guest. You can find her on Twitter at NBA Sarah. She regularly joins me on this podcast, the beat writer for the Jazz for the Deseret News. What's going on, Sarah?
Not much. Getting ready for some actual basketball to start.
Yeah, it's been nice to be able to talk to NBA players again. We've been able to talk to, I would say, the majority, I guess, of the Jazz rotation players as they get ready to head to Orlando. In fact, they're doing that while we speak. We're recording this on Tuesday, and the Jazz are in the air.
Yeah, and like you said, it's really been nice to actually talk to the players, because there was quite some time where we didn't talk to many of them, and there was a lot of information that came out of it, I think.
So let's see, we've talked to Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, Jordan Clarkson, Joe Ingles, Tony Bradley, Emmanuel Mudiay. I don't think I'm missing anyone, and of course, Quinn Snyder.
Yeah, all basically the starters and the rotation guys that we expect to see. George Niang, too. I don't know if you said him, but everyone that we expect to see have either significant minutes or rotational minutes while they're in Orlando.
So let's talk about Donovan and Rudy, because I do think that continues to be the big issue for Jazz fans. This was the first time they both kind of publicly, I mean, even said each other's name, I feel like, when they were acknowledging, kind of moving past their issues. And I thought they handled it just fine. I guess my only question is, why did they wait so long to do this?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, there's a lot of feelings I think that Donovan shared that a lot of basketball players can feel throughout an NBA season, especially if there's ever any controversy from within a locker room, and it's that they don't owe the media anything, especially when it's about personal stuff. And so if he was mad at Rudy, then why would he like go on Twitter and say like, hey, this isn't true, when like he's just going to have to come back the next day and say like, no, that's not true, and like fight about all these different like anonymously sourced sayings that are coming out from different platforms. And I think it was just kind of an overwhelming situation is what it sounded like from Donovan's perspective, and he just didn't want to deal with it.
Yeah, and I don't think he necessarily made it worse. He may have made it longer, but I don't think necessarily made it worse. And, you know, I guess when you're trying to resolve issues, that's probably the goal. And as soon as the Jazz win a game or he throws a lob to Rudy, people are going to, they're not going to forget about it. It's always going to be a storyline with these two, but it will be a part of the past, even if it's not forgotten.
And in the same vein too, like if he misses Rudy when Rudy's wide open under the basket or something, then this is going to be something that's going to come back up, and it's always going to be talked about. If there ever seems to be tension. But I think one of the things that both players, both Rudy and Donovan, mentioned to us this week is that there's always going to be tension. Like, not everyone's going to get along. And that's, we've talked about it here on this podcast before, that can be said about every good team and every bad team in the league or across professional sports at all. not all teammates get along, and that doesn't necessarily take away from what they have on the court.
Yeah, and in fact, you know, I don't know of a great NBA friendship that has led to championships. You know, like nobody liked Kareem. Like, Kareem wasn't friends with anybody in the Lakers locker room. Kyrie and LeBron haven't been friends. I guess Dwayne Wade and LeBron James and Chris Bosh were all buddies, and they weren't perfectly successful and had their issues with Eric Spoelstra. You know, obviously Kevin Durant had issues in that Warriors locker room. I know you covered them very closely before he got there. There's just there are issues. There are guys who have huge egos and are competitive that they just don't always get along. So I do think it's kind of what we had talked about. It just probably wasn't as big a deal as it felt like. It was probably just news to some Jazz fans.
Yeah, I think exactly the same thing. And that's fair, you know. Fans, especially of a single team, are going to latch on to any information that comes out about that team. And I think it's totally fair that it was news to Jazz fans. It's also fair that it could be a completely moot point and was overblown.
So looking at the Jazz moving forward now, I thought Quinn Snyder handled things well. I thought he was very cordial in his conversation. And not to say he's not a cordial person. He just depends on, like anybody, kind of depends on which mood you catch him in. Seems like he was in a good mood as the team was preparing to go down to Orlando. I'm sure there are more question marks about what they're going to do. You asked a very good question to Quinn, just about how do you prepare for the unknowns? And he said, you know, I have to be vague because I don't know what I'm supposed to do sometimes.
Yeah. And, you know, why there's, you know, two parts to that. There's the one part that's all of the variables that can go into the season. And there's no way to know how this is going to work out because this is the first time that any of the teams have ever been in this situation. So there's not blueprint for this. And so it's not like you can plan for the unknown. At the same time, Quinn Snyder, very on brand for who he is as a coach, his answer is, well, you plan for absolutely everything then. You plan for every variable. You overplan. Yeah. And I think that, I mean, I don't think that that's necessarily unique to Quinn Snyder and the Utah Jazz. All of these teams are going to be coming in not knowing how things are going to work out and having come in with a plan for everything that they think could go right or wrong.
I do think one of the things that some coaches may be able to do better than other coaches, and I don't know where Quinn Snyder falls on this, honestly, is knowing how much they trust their team to navigate the unknowns without preparing for it beforehand. And just saying, you know what, we don't need to spend time on this or this because I know if we run into these unknowns, we have veteran guys or we have leaders that will know how to navigate it for me or for us or for the younger players. And the truth is the Jazz just may not have those guys on the roster. They may not have the Tim Duncans or kind of, you know, the elder statesmen that overpower or overshadow all those little issues that could pop up.
Well, I think one of the interesting things about this situation is that we don't know whether or not like that veteran leadership or being so seasoned in the league and being able to tune out little things, we don't know if that's actually going to be as valuable. Like there just could be certain personality types that work in this bubble that wouldn't work in a normal NBA arena because this is so different. And so I think what you said about coaches knowing that they can trust their team and their players individually is really important because it could be some of the younger guys that are maybe more susceptible sometimes to the fans and all of the noise around a game or the attention that kind of stand out in this sort of a situation when it's quieter and it's more intimate and there's not people around. I think we could see anything. None of us know how players are going to react to this.
Yeah, and the dynamics that do work, and you know, when I'm thinking about the Jazz, I think of Joe Ingles' attitude, how sarcastic he is, how he never lets anyone kind of buy too much into what the team is doing. And I mean the players on the roster. He obviously believes in the team. He always makes sure that it's not too serious. It seems like he's usually willing to crack a joke. You know, maybe that doesn't work when you're stuck together for 2 months. You know, maybe that is better when you see each other on the plane and in the locker room and you go to your hotel room and you're not always around or you can go home and get away from people. When you can't go see your family, maybe those types of things start to wear more or maybe those things are more valuable. I do think we are going to have a lot of issues and I don't mean bad issues. I just mean, you know, a lot of different scenarios that teams have no way of preparing for until they get down there.
Yeah, and I mean, that's the same like across top to bottom from everything from the time they're spending together off the court to the way that games are played in an arena with no fans, with, you know, players on a back bench wearing masks and on a front bench not wearing masks. Like, there's so many dynamics that are completely different, and we don't know how it's all going to play out until it actually happens.
All right, so with the conversations we've had with players behind us now, and we're going to get them more over the next week once they do arrive in Orlando, they're going to continue to make these guys accessible to us as they get ready to return. The Jazz season and the Jazz schedule is really interesting because the Jazz officially reopened the NBA season on July 30th. They are the very first game. There's only two games being played on that day. They're taking on the New Orleans Pelicans, which is the team that, you know, reportedly the NBA is really pushing hard to get into the playoffs and wants to showcase while they're down there.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many things about this first game. It's like, not only are the Jazz the first team to play in Orlando, it's fitting because they were the team that was at the center of the NBA shutting down. And it was kind of that impetus that got that ball rolling back in March. And so to have them be the first team that plays is very fitting. And if that's not enough, then you also have all of the controversy between the Pelicans and the Jazz from before during this season. They had, you know, two games in January that ended in really controversial fashion. And so there was a lot of blood boiling between the two teams. And then again, like you said, if that's not enough, the NBA is really pushing Zion Williamson. And it's going to be the first time the Jazz have seen him with the Pelicans during the regular season.
So, yeah, I mean, this is going to be it's a great game. It's an awesome opportunity for the Jazz. It's going to be something that you're going to see. I don't know if newsreels are going to exist going forward, but it will be something that we talk about for a really long time. And everyone's going to be watching to see Zion Williamson. Everyone's going to be watching to see what Donovan and Rudy Gobert do when they're together on the floor. I think it's going to be fascinating. I think it's a huge game, but it's exactly what the NBA needed to draw attention. You couldn't have come back with the Wizards and the Suns playing. You know, people would have watched, but we would have recognized kind of how lame it's going to be without fans in the arena. And that's going to be, you know, there's going to be issues that the NBA needs to work out as they continue to play. But these teams don't not like each other. You know, Derek Favors on the team, everybody loves Derek Favors on the Pelicans. Everyone on the Jazz loves Derek Favors. But, you know, there's no love lost between these two teams this season. Like you mentioned, there were three really good games. Two of them were fantastic in New Orleans. So coming back with this, I think, is a huge opportunity. And you know what? If the Jazz win this game without Bojan Bogdanovic, who, by the way, was huge in one of those Jazz victories down the stretch in New Orleans to get the victory, it's a good sign for the rest of the season and chance that maybe the Jazz can continue to not host home court advantage. You're not playing at home, but to have a top four seed.
Yeah, that very first game is going to, there's going to be so many narratives and storylines that come out of it, no matter the way that it ends up going. I mean, if the Jazz win, like you said, without Bojan against the Pelicans, that first game in Orlando, it's going to be a huge deal, especially with the way that the season ended in March or came to a stop in March. And then if the Jazz lose, that's going to start the ball rolling on the Pelicans narrative. Like, can they make it into the playoffs? They've won the first game. Zion's looking great, probably. There's going to be so many things that come out. And then following that game, that first day of games, it's Jazz-Pelicans, and then it's Clippers-Lakers. And so it's just that's a jam-packed day to feed storylines for the rest of the bubble.
And I'm admittedly, and I hate to say this because these guys are really risking their health to do this, I'm very excited for the NBA to return.
Yeah. I first and foremost, really hope there's no coronavirus outbreaks within the NBA bubble. I hope they're able to isolate things and keep it under wraps. And I also am hoping that this long layoff does not sort of lend itself to injuries, that everyone can stay basketball healthy. And then with those things to the side, I cannot wait to have actual basketball. It's just, it's going to be great.
As far as the Pelicans go, they sit in the 10th seed right now. They're trying to catch the Grizzlies, who are the 8th seed. They're 3.5 games back. And you know what? Actually, the Portland Trail Blazers have like a 1/1000th of a percentage point ahead of Pelicans right now in the standings. But that's what ultimately, with 8 games remaining, that 1/1000th of a percentage could end up being what determines who makes the playoffs. Because if they each go 4-4 down the stretch, or 5-3, whatever it is, the team with the better winning percentage gets into that play-in game. And by having played fewer games than the Pelicans, the Blazers could absolutely squeak in. And that would be a very painful loss for the NBA to not get Zion Williamson against Ja Morant in that playoff play-in game, and there's absolutely going to be a play-in game.
Yeah, and I mean, you'd probably not be like a very smart betting person if you were going to bet against Damian Lillard and the season that he's had. At the same time, the closeness of those standings down at the bottom are going to end up being so important when we lead into that play-in game. I'm really excited about the play-in tournament. I hope that that happens. I hope that it ends up being like a crazy one or two games that we get to watch. It's really exciting. It, you know, brings back memories of, you know, last game of the season battles that we've had during the NBA regular season, and whoever wins is going to make it. And those are really exciting days. And so to have that before the playoffs would be really great for the league.
Yeah, I think the last time we did that was 2 years ago. It was the Nuggets and the Timberwolves. I think, had to have that play-in game, and it was good. Yeah, it's interesting basketball. And you're right, whoever, you know, makes it probably gets slaughtered by the Lakers in the first round, but maybe not. You know, Zion, if that team's healthy and Brandon Ingram's clicking and they're back and playing well, Derek Favors is really good. We know that. That could be a good series. It's not going to go seven games, but it could go five or six.
Yeah, I mean, either way, I think any of these teams that end up in the eighth seed and are going to end up facing the Lakers, I mean, those are going to be interesting games. Like, let's say it's the Pelicans and you get Zion going against them, or it's the Blazers and we get a replay of that last game that we saw between the Lakers. It was that first game in LA after Kobe Bryant had passed. That was an intense game between the Blazers and the Lakers. And so we could see that in the first round, or the Grizzlies, which are like this young upstart team with Ja Morant. And I mean, any of it is going to make for good basketball. Obviously, I think that the Lakers are going to end up moving forward and advancing with fair amount of ease, but it's going to be a good series.
Second game for the Jazz, they take on the Oklahoma City Thunder. Just no break through the first two games for the Jazz.
Yeah, and that's the game that never happened. You know, it's the one that the Jazz were supposed to play that night in Oklahoma City before Rudy Gobert tested positive for COVID-19. And that was such a big moment and will continue to forever be a huge moment in NBA history. And then to get that a replay of that game and actually have it move forward. I mean, like I said, even with the first one, it's the same with the second game. The storylines are endless, and it's going to be good TV and it's going to be good basketball.
It remains to be seen how good the Jazz are going to be without Bojan Bogdanović, what will work, what won't work, how they make up for it. But you know, the Jazz have been better than, the Jazz have had good matchups with the Thunder so far this season, and that was going to be tough going forward. And the Thunder are right behind the Jazz in the playoff standings. They're the fifth seed, the Jazz are the fourth seed. So this is a very crucial game for the Jazz, and really a potential preview of who the Jazz are going to play in the first round of the playoffs.
Yeah, and that, you know, that playoff race, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 is really interesting. Not so much the second seed, but especially with the Nuggets there at third, because they have the toughest schedule in Orlando. And even with, you know, Jokic coming back, apparently like skinnier than anyone has ever been in the NBA and in the best shape of his life, there's no telling what they're going to be able to do. They have an insanely tough schedule in Orlando. And so it's very feasible that they could drop down and we could see the Thunder or the Rockets or the Jazz move up to that third seed. So that middle of the pack in the Western Conference is going to be a really interesting positional play.
He also has coronavirus and is stuck in Serbia. You know, that's real. He's still stuck there. He's not traveling with the Nuggets when they get to Orlando. So he's still trying to get back into the United States so he can get to play with his team. And let me say this about his weight. One of his advantages is his weight. I get that being in better shape is going to allow him to run and play longer and hopefully have better stamina, and those are all good things. He's already one of the most clutch players in the NBA. The Jazz have been on the wrong side of that twice this year. But one of his best things is that he's so heavy that he can lean on good players like Rudy Gobert and wear them out and be that kind of dominant force offensively. If he gets pushed around a little bit, the Nuggets this offseason could say, hey, go eat more. Like, we want you to get bigger again, just being thinner, unless you're significantly stronger. I don't know if that's the best thing that Jokic could have done for his body.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, it's hard to play bully ball when you're too small to do it. Yep. And it's not like he wasn't able to last. Like, yeah, he looked like he could have lost some weight before, but they had that game where they played, what was it, three or four overtimes last year during the playoffs, and he lasted the whole time.
Well, and he was on the floor when the Jazz had, they beat the Jazz, and they only had, what, six guys available, right?
Yeah.
So he had to play 40-plus minutes, and he was the best player on the floor.
Yeah, so it's not like his weight was making it so that he couldn't have stamina during a game, and it's, you know, remains to be seen how much his weight loss has changed things.
All right, Jazz play the Los Angeles Lakers in the third game. This game's interesting, A, because it features LeBron James, and B, because it might not feature LeBron James. I don't have any idea how the Lakers are going to approach these final games as they come back. They're going to lock up the top seed relatively quickly. They could potentially do it after game two if they beat the Clippers in game one, and then either the Lakers or the Clippers win the second game. I think that's their magic number. They've already got it wrapped up at that point. They could choose to start sitting players already at that point.
Yeah, and they've got a schedule where they could choose a couple of games here or there to sit LeBron, maybe sit a couple of their more veteran guys. But they're also going to be without Avery Bradley, too. And so while they can take the foot off the pedal a little bit, it depends on what's going to happen in those first two games, really. And for all teams also, like through these games, this is going to be the first competitive outside of the exhibition games before July 30th. This is going to be the first meaningful competitive games that they've played in like 4.5 months at that point. And so I think that we probably are going to see limited minutes from some of the veterans in these games just because they are going to need time to warm up.
Game four for the Jazz, they take on the Memphis Grizzlies. Again, the Grizzlies are fighting for their playoff life. They've given the Jazz trouble so far this season. Ja Morant is a problem, as the kids like to say, and has been for the Jazz so far this season. And again, when the Jazz did beat Memphis, breaking a losing streak earlier this year in Memphis, Bojan Bogdanović went crazy in the third quarter, and they don't have his skills anymore.
Yeah, having it was 33 points that he had in that game, and so you know, making up for a guy that's able to go off on scoring rants like that, like it's. That's a flurry that you aren't going to be able to get from somebody else probably on the team. And so you have to mitigate that by spreading around the scoring opportunities. And so I think that's one of the most interesting things that we're going to be looking at with the Jazz while they're in Orlando is kind of how they spread things around the team and how they can make up for the loss of Bogdanović.
San Antonio Spurs are game five for the Jazz. That's their easiest game that they play. And in fact, they get San Antonio twice. So that's a big plus because LaMarcus Aldridge isn't going to be there by game five. They're probably already eliminated from the playoffs. Hopefully Greg Popovich is checked out and is just saying, let's just play our young players.
Yeah. And then on the other side of that also, the Spurs beat the Jazz twice this season in both the games that they played them. So it's their easiest game on the schedule and they play them twice and they haven't been able to beat them yet this year. And although LaMarcus Aldridge won't be there, DeMar DeRozan is the guy that kind of went after them and he killed them in the mid-range as he's wont to do. And if the Spurs decide to actually go for, which even their young players, a lot of their young players have the ability to go off. I mean, Lonnie Walker, even though he hasn't seen a ton of basketball, that's a great player. And he's a young guy who could look at the floor and just be like, I don't care where we are in the standings. I'm going to go nuts. And so while that is the easiest game on their schedule for both the times they play them, none of these games are going to be gimmies.
No. And it's going to be, you know, Jazz health, who's available, who's not available, how willing the Jazz are to kind of stay together as a team if things do go bad without Bojan Bogdanović. I think those are all major issues for the Jazz. Another huge game, potentially ability to climb in the standings or fall further back, Denver Nuggets in game six.
Yeah, and Denver, like I said at the beginning, they have the toughest schedule, and playing the Utah Jazz is probably one of the easier games on their schedule, which is not saying anything against the Jazz. It's just that's how hard the Denver schedule is. And so they're going to be looking at this as a must win. Like they're going to be coming out hard for this one.
And, you know, like you said, we talked about Jokic quite a bit earlier. This is going to be a game that, you know, if the Jazz are in that four seed at that point and Nuggets are in the three seed or, you know, maybe they've fallen back and that is the current standings right now. That's going to be huge. It's going to have a playoff atmosphere. And you know what? These teams can also start using some of these games to dictate who they do play in the first round. What, by this point, we might be understanding, hey, we're going to strategically rest guys to make sure we're healthy. We're playing a lot of games. It's a lot of wear and tear on these players' bodies. And if we end up with the Mavericks in the first round, I'm talking from the Jazz perspective, if they feel like they're going to end up with the Mavericks in the first round of the playoffs, maybe they don't. It, you know, if they lose this game, maybe that's a game they choose to sit a Donovan Mitchell or a Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, and knowing that they're probably going to be without Mike Conley for some part of the first round, maybe the second, depending on when his wife gives birth, that could go into a choice also of like who to sit, who to play, how many minutes is going to go around, and this could be a game where it happens.
And then the Jazz seventh game is the Dallas Mavericks. I think Dallas is really interesting. We know Kristaps Porzingis has kind of been hot and cold this season. He's not quite yet come back to his New York playing shape. But Luka Doncic is the best young player in the NBA and has caused the Jazz some problems earlier this season, though the Jazz have a couple of very good victories against Dallas so far.
Yeah, and, you know, when the Jazz were in Dallas, that was one of the better games that the Jazz played on the road this year. And so I think that they're going to be looking at that and looking at how they can use what they've already done. I mean, they're going to be doing this for a lot of these games, looking at previous games played and looking at game tape to try to figure out how they can play. And that doesn't get game plan. There's not as much of that planning for regular season games, but because all of the teams basically in Orlando are potential playoff teams, I think that you're going to see coaches and staff really digging into, you know, scouting reports and game planning for these guys, because they could turn around, you know, after these eight games, they could turn around, they could be playing that team in the playoffs. So I think there's going to be a lot going into it.
And one of the things you mentioned that's interesting, that is the Jazz good win on the road against Dallas. Jazz are a really good road team this year. They're 20-13. Only two teams have more road wins than the Jazz this year. That is the Dallas Mavericks, coincidentally, who were weirdly good on the road this year. They were 21-12. And of course, the Lakers, who have 28 road wins. Jazz have a better road record than the Clippers do. Jazz have a better road record than the Nuggets do. In fact, a lot better. Nuggets are only four games over 500. So, you know, maybe playing away from Salt Lake actually, it can be a bit of an advantage for the Jazz, though I think a lot of fans would assume, hey, you're not at altitude, you don't have the fans at your back, you're not going to play as well. I think it's going to be true for everybody, and the Jazz have shown an ability this season to win on the road.
Yeah, and you've got a lot of teams in the league that are not good road teams, and especially in the East, you've got more teams that seem to waver when they're on the road, but you've also got teams, like you said, the Nuggets, they're not a great road team, and so we don't know how that's going to play into an arena, like you said, with no fans or whatever, but it's all going to be really interesting, and it's all going to be, you know, what the players and what the teams make it for themselves. So if they can look at themselves and they can say, hey, we were great on the road, and they go in with that type of confidence, that might be just enough to help them.
All right, so just to recap, because the eighth game we've already talked about is the San Antonio Spurs. The Jazz play the Pelicans, the Thunder, the Lakers, the Grizzlies, Spurs, Nuggets, Mavericks, and the Spurs again. What do you think the record's going to be for the Jazz? How do they finish the season?
You know, I think it's a pretty even schedule for them. I think there's a few games in there, you know, like the Oklahoma City and probably the San Antonio and the Nuggets games, where they can go either way, but it wouldn't surprise me either way either. And so I think that those will probably end up being split. I'd say that it's really possible if they come out of this 5-3 or 4-4.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm feeling too. I think that's how most fans are going to be looking at it as well. And to be honest with you, I don't think we're going to see teams go 7-1 down here in Orlando. Maybe the Bucks, you know, because they're fully healthy, or should be, even though they just had a bunch of players test positive apparently for coronavirus as well. I think there's going to be a lot of slow starts. I think there's going to be players sitting out. I think the standings you have right now will probably remain relatively similar to the end of the year, because there's just going to be so many unknowns and nobody's going to be playing great basketball when the league returns.
Yeah, that's the thing that I think is really important to remember, that first of all, not only are all of these teams the best of the NBA, like we don't have the bottom feeders. And of course, like, you know, you've got Sacramento and the Suns and the Wizards there, but like no one's really thinking about them as far as these schedules go, because right, no one's expecting them to actually do anything. But other than those teams, all of these teams are very good. And so none of these schedules are 100% easy or even close to that. And then, like you said, it's really important. None of these teams are going to be coming out playing their best basketball. These guys haven't been on a court together playing real 5-on-5 basketball in months. And so it's not going to be like we're going to turn on the TV and you're going to be seeing like the best basketball you've ever seen. It's going to be a little rough probably at first.
All right. Sarah's got an article coming out further breaking down all 8 games for the Jazz. You can find that at Deseret.com. That's where you can read Sarah. Find her on Twitter at NBA Sarah. You can read me at KSLSports.com. Appreciate everyone who tuned in today for the Jazz Notes podcast. We'll get you updated as the season continues to return.